Lord's been working some things out in my life. Do you guys, is the Lord working some things out in your life? Well, brace yourself. This word is for you today, too. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to use what you're doing in me, and I'm going to throw it all out here. And by God, if that's how you use me, that's how you use me. Sometimes it's a painful way to be used when you're being real with people and you're putting it all out there. But if that's how he decides to use all this, then praise God, he gets glory out of it. Amen. All right, so today I want to talk to you about promises and declarations. And he's been singing it all morning to us, if you've been listening to the words, which is really cool. He always seems to do that, you know what's going on even when we don't. It looks like we do, but quite honestly, we don't plan together. So it just always works out the way God wants it to work out. We're not that organized. So today I want to talk to you about promises and declarations. And that song that Josh and I signed to is packed full of promises and declarations. And quite honestly, that song got me through a whole lot. His word is packed full of promises. Amen? Sometimes you can go through some pretty difficult things. And we here at TGPA, we have a really awesome community. And community, I know, has gotten me through a lot. I look back over the last several years. Actually, just yesterday, Josh got his license, and I had to renew my license, so it was good timing. We were both at the same place at the same time. And I got a new license, and I was really thrilled about it, because honestly, I haven't had a license that's looked like me for several years now. Everybody looks at it, and they're thinking, like, I'm trying to pull one off. I'm like, I don't know why I'd make myself older, but whatever. So I was really glad to have a license that actually looked like me. I was thinking back to how different my life is, not just in the way necessarily that I look, but just my soul, my spirit, my inner self is so unrecognizable when I look back and I just see how far God has brought us. And that is definitely nothing about me. That's 100% about God and how he has used this community here at the Gathering Place so instrumental in growing me and changing me and Josh and our family. And so I think back to how some things have changed and how community has been so helpful. But do you guys know that sometimes you encounter things in life or you're going through some really difficult situations that even talking to someone in community doesn't really help? You know, I can explain something I'm going through to Pastor Keith, and quite honestly, he can, you know, understand that I'm upset, but he really doesn't know what I'm talking about, how it feels. And sometimes you just, you know, you can support each other, but you just can't get that breakthrough just by relying on somebody else. I don't know if that makes sense, but I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about when all else fails, even when this amazing community that we have can't help you through something, that you have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And through God and with his help, there are some things that you can do to take those steps in faith when you feel like you just can't know what to do. Does that make sense? Sometimes a breakthrough, sometimes breaking some chains off, it takes some steps of faith that without his help, without relying on his promises, and without making some declarations of your own, you'll just stay right where you are. Does that make sense? So we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about it. And the other thing I want to remind us is sometimes we make these battles, these things going on in our spirit, natural, because it's easier. If I can do things tangibly, right, Michelle, where is she? If I can follow a list, if I can check things off, you know, if I can do things naturally, then that would make sense that my breakthrough would come through naturally. But what that happens is we're fighting a spiritual battle in the natural, and it leaves us frustrated. You know, and we get to that point to where we get so frustrated that we're just like, oh, God, I can't get through this. Why can't I get through this? Why can't I break this thing off of me? Why am I still struggling with this particular issue? And I just heard very clearly here recently that I was trying to fight a battle in the natural that was 100% spiritual. And you can't fight a spiritual battle with natural things, Amen. And as a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 10, it says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I also started thinking about the armor of God. We've heard Lisa talk about that, about the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, all the different things, the helmet of salvation, all of these things, those are not natural weapons. You know, when the Lord is explaining to us how we battle in the Spirit, he never one time said, pick up a natural sword and go at this thing. Every single time he gave us spiritual tools because he knew if we went at this in the spiritual realm, in the natural has no option but to come into alignment with what the Spirit says. Does that make sense? So I want to talk about this today, and I'm going to share a story about Elijah. And the way I stumbled upon this is I was dealing with some things and going to his word, and I was looking in the book of James, chapter 5, and where James is talking about how to have prayers of faith. So I'm like, oh, I just need to, you know, he was telling me I need to fight in the spirit realm. So I was like, all right, prayers of faith. So I go to James, and James says in 5:17-18, he tells us that Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours, and he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. No rain fell on the earth for 3.5 years, and then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied, and the land produced crops. So that then, of course, in my mind, I said, I need to look into this. If James thought it necessary to refer to the story of Elijah when he's talking about prayers of faith, then I need to go back to the book of Kings, and I need to look and see what this story of Elijah is all about. So that's where the Lord brought the word today. And I want to tell you, back in this time, the king Ahab was ruling. He was over it. And it says that he was more evil than all of those that were before him. He was a really horrible human being doing horrible things. He worshipped idols and was really difficult. He wanted to kill all the prophets that God had sent, and he made that his mission. And in 1 Kings 17, it says, Elijah told wicked Ahab that no rain would fall on the land of Israel until the word of God said it would. There was a drought and a famine in the land because of this. The Lord has said there will be no more rain until he spoke it so. So Elijah received a word, and you know how in the Old Testament, the Israelites would turn their back, they would go through some famine, they would go through some drought, and until repentance came, you know, and the Lord showed his power that way. He said, look, I control the rain. I control what produces your crops, not these idols of yours. So I'm going to show you, I'm going to take the rain and all your crops are going to die and you're going to live in a drought season. So in this drought season, where Ahab, the enemy, let's just say that, is running rampant. And you could imagine in the minds of the people, the enemy is just having a field day. And so the enemy is running rampant, and Elijah went in this waiting period. You guys know what that waiting period is like. I've talked about it up here before. And I feel like that waiting period is important. That's a time where you can really press in and hear God and have time. But there is something else that happens after the waiting period. And that's the time when God says to get up and move forward. And I want you to start making some declarations. And this is what Elijah did. And I want you to hear me. He said the enemy had been going crazy, running rampant. But Elijah told Ahab, you had better get ready because I hear the sound of rain. You had better prepare because there's about to be a downpour. So here we are in this waiting period, in this drought season. But then Elijah heard a word from the Lord, and he went to the enemy's gates. And he told the enemy himself, you better get ready because it's about to rain on your head. You better prepare yourself because there is about to be a downpour. Now, I don't think Elijah heard the sound of rain in the natural. It hadn't started raining yet. That's what I want you to get. He didn't hear it in the natural. I think he heard it in the spirit. And all of a sudden, can you imagine? It's drought. It's dry. There's no crops. People, you know, crops are not growing. Cattle is dying. But all of a sudden in the spirit, you hear the sound of rain. You hear the sound of rain. And Elijah hopped up and he went to the front lines of the enemy and he said, oh, prepare yourself because there is about to be a downpour. Just as Elijah announced to Ahab, sometimes we need to announce to our own enemies. Sometimes we need to announce to ourselves, just like David did in the Psalms, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. David talked to himself a lot, and I can appreciate that because I do that too. Sometimes she'll like, what are you saying? I'm like, no, I'm just talking to myself. I'm just saying something. And sometimes when you're in this valley season, and God is doing things. It's not that he is not doing things, but sometimes you can just want to pitch a tent and camp there when it's time to move forward, when it's time to take another step, when it's time to move out of that season into a new season of life. And sometimes that can be a painful process, especially when it has to do with your thing you control the most. Whether it is your kid, your dreams, your job, your passion, your purpose, no matter what it is, it never fails. The Lord is like, all these other things are great, but that one thing that you hide from me, that one thing that you keep so close to you that it controls everything else about you, he said, I'm ready to bring that out. And I am ready for you to put it out here and trust me with it because it's time for a new season. The waiting time is over and there's about to be a downpour. Amen. And so there comes a time, just like what Elijah did with Ahab, where you have to get a little tenacity. You have to get a little guts. You have to get some willingness. You know, sometimes we just want to stay in our woe is me attitude. The poor, pitiful me, I can't get through this. Why can't I do this? But am I right or am I right? Sometimes it's not that God, like we're waiting on God. God is ready. It's not that we're waiting on God. It's God saying, all right, child, get up. We are there. We're working through this. And I need you to have faith. And I need you to have courage that I will give you. You don't even have to have it in yourself. Just be willing to make some declarations. And a declaration, I wanted to talk about that. The definition of it is to pronounce or to assert. But another definition is to openly align oneself for or against. It's taking a stance. I don't know how much experience you guys have in spiritual warfare. That sounds super spiritual, but basically things going on in your spirit, your insides, the part of you that feels torn between one thing or another, the part of you that just doesn't want to surrender some things. That's spiritual warfare. We try to fight it in the natural, but the truth of the matter is you can't fight a spiritual battle with natural tools. You have to get spiritual about it. You have to use those tools that God has given you. One of those is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit literally living on the inside of us. Amen? So we're not powerless like we think we are. We have the same power that raised Christ from the dead literally dwelling on the inside of us. So we are not powerless. We're not even close to powerless. As a matter of fact, we have God literally with us every step of the way, every moment. Isn't it? Don't you feel safer knowing? You know, sometimes we forget that he's there. It's like a parent. You know, it's Josh has learned to drive, and as long as Gina and I are there, I'm sure it feels very different than when he's going to be driving on his own. If something happens, we're there to kind of cushion it. On your own, you know, you feel very alone in that. We are never driving alone in God's kingdom. We are never driving alone. Not only do we have him, we have everybody sitting right here. You're never alone. But sometimes it is time for yourself to talk to yourself, to look your enemy in the eye and say, today is the day of declaration. Today, a declaration is like a spiritual line in the sand. That today is the day that when I walk out of here, I'm not walking out of here with the same chains that I came dragging in here this morning. Amen? So a declaration. And I wanted to think about a couple times other than this example, which we're not done with. You just wait and see what happens. But we're not done with it. But there's a couple times I wanted to show you how God has made declarations important. I couldn't help but to immediately think of David and Goliath, where here he is being taunted by this giant, and he says, "You come at me with sword, and you come at me with your weapons. I come at you in the name of the Lord." And he threw a stone. Do you think it was the stone that did anything? No, it was a giant. It was the fact that he declared that this day you will not have victory. This day I will have victory. And this day the will of the Lord will proceed going forward. It was never about the physical battle. It was never about it. It was about the fact that the Israelites felt defeated because of this giant. Every single one, these warriors were in armor. These warriors that had been carrying the very word of God, the very presence of God with them through all these generations. They're the ones that have seen all these magnificent things happen. They had made up in their mind that they were defeated. But it took one person with a little bit of guts and remembering of who he belonged to. It took one shepherd boy that they just put out to the pasture because that's all he could do to say, "Wait a second. Today is not the day that we lose this battle. Today is the day that we go in the name of the Lord because we are his." And that made all the difference in the world. And then I think about the Battle of Jericho, where here they are being obedient, marching around this wall. But the last thing they did was they let it rip. They walked and walked and walked around this wall. And that took a lot of time. It wasn't like they walked around this building. They walked around a city, and they walked. But then there came a time, and the Lord said, "I want you to yell, and I want you to yell with every single thing you have." And when they did, those city walls came crashing down because they were moving from the waiting period to the time of declaration when we are moving forward. Amen? So to declare something, and if you don't know what to declare, I'm going to help you with that, because the word is jammed, packed with things that you can declare. The power is in his word, right? Not our word. I can declare a lot of things, and I don't want you to confuse me with that name it, claim it, ministry, BOGO. I'm not saying that. I declare there's a Lexus in the parking lot. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about spiritual warfare, and I'm talking about having the tenacity to understand that we are not alone. We have the God of the universe that thought so lovingly of us that he sent his son, and we do not have to stay where we are because he loves us too much to leave us that way. Amen? All right. So things to declare. In the Bible, you can declare, "I am forgiven." Acts 10:43, Romans 8:1, Ephesians 1:7 through 10, Colossians 1:13 through 14, over and over and over again, "I am forgiven." When that enemy tries to lie to you that you're not, you can declare, "Oh yes, I am," that you are free. Psalm 118:5, John 8:36, Romans 6:6 through 8, Galatians 5:1, 1 Peter 2:16, that you are free in the name of Jesus, that you have hope. Proverbs 23:18, Psalm 71:5, Romans 5:1-5. You get the point. There is over and over and over. You don't have to even have the word to declare because he gives those to you. That you have a purpose, Jeremiah 29:11, Proverbs 16:9, that you are valuable, John 3:16, so valuable that, amen, Psalm 139:13-15. And if you can't remember any of those, there is a whole lot of power in declaring, "Jesus, there is power in that name." The very name of God has promises in it. We look in the Old Testament, Jehovah Nissi, he says he's going to be your banner, Sheena. Jehovah Jireh, he's going to provide every single thing you need, Blake, for what he is moving you to. Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer. Jehovah Uzi, he's my strength. I don't even have to have it. I can go right to him, and he is my strength. So if you don't know what promises to say, if you don't know even what to declare, you just start declaring, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And in the spirit realm, things happen. And I'm going to tell you right now, the natural has no reason, no option to stay as it is. It has to move. Amen. His promises, it says in 2 Corinthians 1, are yes and amen. His promises are not such as these little pie crust promises we make to ourselves with really good intentions. His promises, it says, are yes and amen. And I want you to hear what it says. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all, say all, yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Listen, he anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. He put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I'm going to have to say that again. We say, oh, his promises are yes and amen. Let's finish what he just said. His promises are yes and amen. And not only are they yes and amen, he put his spirit on the inside of us, which should prove as a deposit that what he says is going to happen is going to happen. Amen. So he didn't even just say, trust me at my word. He said, I'm going to give you a deposit of myself. I am going to take a piece of myself and I am going to give it to you so that you can even still do what I've called you to do. His word is so full of power. His name is power. His promises, they're powerful and they are true. When you feel yourself crippled with fear, when you feel yourself stuck in this place, you start declaring those promises. And you spiritually draw that line in the sand. We so easily forget whose we are. I know I'm just Jenny, and that's not a whole lot, but I am Jenny, child of the Most High King. I am bought with a price. I am grafted into the vine. I don't have to measure up because he measured up for me. We serve a king that doesn't ask us to measure up, but he came down like us and he measured up. And because he measured up, we measure up. So even those things on the inside of us, those dreams, those things we want to control, our kids growing up and us trusting that those crazy people in the world aren't going to harm them, God sees things so differently. As a mother, you know, my biggest thing is, oh, don't let anything happen to Josh. Don't let anything happen to Josh. Don't let anything happen to Josh. I mean, it can just really wrap you up. God is so much more concerned with Josh knowing that he can live a life full of power of the Holy Spirit, that there's a whole world out there for him to go and bring God glory in the things that he does. He's not as worried about his safety as I am because he's God. And he has him. And he's not mine. He's his. I was just lucky enough to keep him for a while. But I think for as much as I feel that way about my own son, how much more does God feel about us? I can't help but to think of that he's looking at me in the same overwhelming feeling of, oh, daughter, I just want you to live in freedom. I want you to feel free with this. I want you to know that what my word was over that baby when he was born is as true now as it was then, and that no word is going to return to him void. No word is going to go without the manifestation of it somewhere down the line. Because you see, his word is alive. It is true. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides bone and marrow. That is his word. We need to use His word in our life, because we have a choice whether we're going to be pitiful or powerful, whether we're going to stay wrapped up in fear, which is just crazy, when we are the daughters and sons of the King. You make your declarations. You rely on His promises. You draw that spiritual line in the sand. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces?" That's how powerful His word is. And when you use it to break those things that hold you captive, it breaks them up. So this is what Elijah did. He made some declarations. He went to the enemy's front gates and said, "Oh, I hear rain coming." Now, you know he had to look crazy. Running up, there's been no rain. There's been a drought. People are dying. People are hungry. And here comes Elijah. "I hear rain coming. There's been no rain on the forecast. The weatherman knows nothing about rain." And here Elijah is saying, "Oh, I hear the sound of rain. The rain is coming." And then it says in 1 Kings 18, it says, "Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth with his face between his knees. He said to his servants, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And when he looked, he said, 'There is nothing.' Elijah said, 'Go again.' 7 times Elijah said, 'Go again.'" This is what is going on right here. He has made his declarations. Have to dwell on those declarations. You make them, and then you hold your position. You make your declaration, and then you hold your position. And his position was worship. His position was that he bowed down, he took an attitude of worship, and he waited with expectancy to see when the rain would come. And 7 times he got a bad report. 7 times. Can you imagine being in his shoes? He's already gone up to the front gates of the enemy and said, "Oh, I hear rain coming." He's already made that really bold, crazy statement. It's out there. You can't take it back. And here he is holding his position. And 7 times he got a bad report. "I don't see any rain." But on that last time, his servant came back and said, "Well, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand." Thankfully, Elijah is different than I am, because I would have been like, "A cloud the size of a man's hand? That's not going to do much. That's the one that follows me around every day." But that's all Elijah needed. He hopped up from his position. He said, "Hallelujah," and he sent another message to the enemy. He said, "You better go tell Ahab the rain is coming. You might want to head down this mountain, because there is about to be a downpour." And what happened? Sure enough, that one little cloud that most of us would snark at turned into a massive downpour. And rain came just as the Lord has said. The battle is the Lord's. The battle wasn't Elijah's, and Elijah didn't fight the battle as if it was. Elijah, like us sometimes, is just the messenger. He had to make some declarations, and then he had to hold his position. Sometimes we just need to declare, we need to align ourselves with the report that we believe. Are we going to believe the report of the enemies? Are we going to believe the good news of what Jesus Christ has done? Are we going to believe that we are who we are in Christ, that he is who he is, that he has not changed, he's not going to change, and that his promises hold true today and forevermore, and that he made those promises for us? He's God. He doesn't need his promises. He made those things for us. He is in covenant with us. And sometimes we just choose to stay in the attitude of defeat or fear. Fear will render you spiritually helpless. We have a choice in that, though. We can stay there, or we can start declaring something different. And I'm going to tell you today, I declare that all things God has called me to do in my life, I'm going to see that happen. those promises, both big in his word and those intimate promises only I and he know about, I'm going to see the day that those come to pass. That I don't have to live in fear of whatever tries to hold me there. I can trust and let go because I am in good hands. God is so amazing. In our little bit of declaration, he just comes in. I'm going to tell you, it only takes about a few seconds of me getting out of a pitiful attitude into a powerful attitude. Only a few minutes of me speaking the word over my life and over my family to completely shift the direction of the attitude that we have. But we have that choice. And today I'm saying that the Lord is saying, some of you guys need to start declaring. Some of you guys need to step out in some courage. Some of you guys need to draw that spiritual line in the sand and say, no more. I'm letting go. Whatever it is that I'm controlling to the point that you're strangling it to death, I'm letting it go. And I am declaring that we are moving forward. Pastor Keith.
What a word. Amen. What I'd like us to do today, a little bit different than normal, instead of praying for you, I would like us to activate declaration. Is there an area of your life, I'm sure there is, that God was particularly showing you during this? For me, there was. Some of the words, if it's something holding you back, know that you were more than a conqueror through him. That nothing is too difficult for him. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. If it's something from the past, then know that he is the one that makes all things new, and his word makes all things new. But what I really want to do is declare for your future. Would you lift your hands right now? Father, right now we declare hope for those who have no hope. In your word, it's hope. We declare strength for those of us who are weak. Strength in our life. We declare wisdom for those of us who feel like we can't make right decisions. You are our wisdom. We declare forgiveness for those of us who continue to live in shame and guilt. Forgiveness in Jesus' name.